This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The MFG Cast presents Human. So, you know, you have your moment with Jane's mom and you return to your room. They still cuff you back up. They're going to let you rest for the night. Detective Freitag basically tells you he's going to see you in the morning to see if they're still going to keep you or release you. But they leave you to your own devices.
Okay. And it's later, like it's after dinner and everything, right? So it's maybe like 8, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I would say that for sure.
I think he picks up a book and he's reading. I tried to look up like popular books in like 1946 and like
I was gonna stuck ask out you as I was like, oh, which one?
And then I thought, well, maybe like somebody like dropped off something that would like trigger bad memories. So, like somebody dropped off the Red Badge of Courage or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, he'll like this, like horrible flashbacks.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Exactly. I don't think anybody would do that to you that liked you.
But I don't know that they would necessarily put to, oh, he's a soldier. Like, he would appreciate this story or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not thinking about like PTSD and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he's reading some popular novel at the time. And then like the camera's focused on him reading, and then the camera pans up to the analog clock on the wall, and it's, you know, like 12:30 at night, and you just see then as it, you know, slowly pans back to the bed, there's just the yellow light from the end table, you know, sort of focused on him, the book. And he puts the book down, like he puts a finger in it and closes it. And then with his other hand, he couldn't do that because he's chained to the bed. All right. So he like takes a piece of paper and stuffs it in the book and puts it down. And then, you know, reaches up and pinches the bridge of his nose and kind of shakes his head, you know, rubs at his eyes and says, you know, kind of leans back. You know, like settles into the pillow and sort of looks up at the ceiling, sort of like vaguely unfocused. And he says, I don't know, you know, if you're up there or anything. I know we haven't talked in quite a long time. I don't know that you care about all the little folks, but I could, well, I mean, not for me, but Jane could use a hand if, you know, if you have anything to say about it. Closes his eyes and, you know, you see him relax, you know, quote unquote, as much as he can into the pillow being chained to a hospital bed.
Yeah, and you fall asleep and you surprisingly don't dream. You have nightmares, which is actually probably very relieving. You don't quite probably get like a good like 8 hours or 6 hours or whatever, probably get more like four and a half or something like that, because you're still chained to the hospital bed. But it's more comfortable than you would normally even get on a normal like day, because of the shrapnel in your arm or the shrapnel in your shoulder, and awake, and it's actually a very nice and shiny day outside. You're awoke by kind of some hustle and bustle outside of the room. You kind of peer out and you see that Detective Freitag is talking to one of the doctors, and they are kind of like, it's not a heated argument at all. It's not anything that's bad. It's just, they're just kind of like having this moment where they're just kind of talking through and just getting, you know, getting their story straight and stuff like that. And then the Detective Freitag shakes the doctor's hand and then walks in.
So when I see that, you know, because his one arm doesn't have a whole lot of movement, so he kind of like tries to shuffle himself up a little bit in the bed so he's a little bit more straight since he's going to be receiving visitors.
And he goes directly to your bed and starts to undo your handcuff on your left arm. And he says, good news. You're cleared by us, but we still want you to stay in town. We don't want you to go anywhere on vacation or anything like that, just in case we have any other questions about the incident. But otherwise, right now, you are clear of any wrongdoing.
So when he takes the cuff off, he, you know, brings his arm up and, you know, rubs his wrist and, you know, this whole thing. And he says, what would he say? I don't know. I guess he says, well, as long as Jane is in the hospital, I'm not going anywhere. So you don't got to worry about that.
He kind of thinks a little bit and he says, this is probably none of my business and it's kind of unsolicited advice, but if I were you, I would let Jane have her time with her mom. And when she's ready, when her mom's ready or when she's ready, you can be there for them.
Like a look crosses his face and he starts to say something and then he bites it back. I was just going to say, he's like, her mom seemed pretty busted up. I can't say that I blame her. Yeah, it's tough for all of us.
And then he kind of looks at you and he says, I've seen a lot of these kind of situations and her mother is not mad at you. She's just mad at the situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I couldn't blame her if she was mad at me anyway. If we hadn't been out, it's not your problem.
And he kind of looks at you a little bit and he says, more free advice.
He does kind of chuckle a little bit.
He says, don't blame yourself for other people's actions because they'll do those actions regardless of your decisions.
I mean, I know that you're right, but it doesn't sting any less.
And he just kind of shakes his head and he says, take care of yourself, Mr. Armstrong.
Thanks. You too. Stay safe out there.
And then he, let's say he has a hat on and he just kind of bends the brim and then he walks out, talks to the doctor for half a second, and then he leaves. Doctor comes in and he's like, Mr. Armstrong, how are we today?
Hey, doc. You know, ribs are still a little sore, but I guess I got sprung, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. I have some more good news for you. We will be discharging you today.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's good. I mean, I feel okay. And like, you know, he's like slides over to the edge of the bed and just like winces as he like pulls himself around. He goes, yeah, I'm doing great.
Yeah. So he says, I will have my nurses give you some wraps. You make sure that you are wrapped good so that you keep those ribs as stable as possible. I know that I cannot force you to do so, but I recommend for you to take about a month's leave from your job as far as any heavy lifting. If you want to do paperwork and such, I think that that is a good idea. But for you to do anything physical, all you will do is make it worse.
Yeah, that sounds like good advice.
I have a question for you as well, a personal question.
He, like, his eyes narrow, like for just the briefest second.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, okay. I mean, I guess you've seen the most personal parts of me already.
He says, I know that you were in the armed forces. I would like to know, and I know I'm not very good at gauging things, but I want your honest opinion. Have you ever been addicted to painkillers?
Oh, no, not me. Yeah, no, I just, I smoke and drink a little.
He'll say, I'm going to prescribe you a low dose of enter pain medication here because I don't know the names of those.
19-4. I get heroin.
We'll give you cans of Coke.
In 1940s?
Did that still have Coke back then? I don't remember. Anyway, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But yeah, so yeah, generic pain medicine or whatever. So he's just like, yeah, I will give you the lowest dosage of that to help with the pain. But again, heavy lifting, keeping away from your job for a little bit to help with the healing will do you a world of good, believe me. Re-aggravating what you have already or making it worse will not be good for you.
I guess they just got to stitch up on their own, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. If I could ask you a question, I don't know if you're the one I should ask or not, but my girlfriend, Jane, we came in together. She's in the ICU. Is there anything you could tell me?
Ah, yes. What did I call her last name? God, we made up a last name and now I don't
Michaels.
Have Michaels? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, Miss Michaels. Yes, I am also her doctor as well. Good news. Her vitals are getting better by the day now. She hasn't fully recovered. She hasn't awakened yet, but vitals are getting back to the positive side.
Are you guys keeping her sedated or did she just not wake up?
Well, we had her sedated for a few days. And now we're trying to allow her to come out herself.
Is she going to be okay?
He takes a deep breath and he says, I sure hope so. Things are very positive for us. A lot of times when things like this happen, we don't see very much improvement. But her heart rate is good. We've actually seen some twitches in her body and in some of her reflexes. As we've tested them, which is always a good sign.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Doc.
Mm-hmm. And he kind of looks around a little bit and he says, I don't know you two very well, but I feel like you two were very close.
Yeah. You could say that. We had a little bit of a rough patch before this, but things were on the mend before kind of waves his hand, you know, all this.
Mm-hmm. So he kind of looks around again and he looks at you and he says, do you have a business card or anything?
He goes to go to his pocket and he's wearing the gown. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, in my wallet. Just give me a second. And he, slowly kind of gets himself off the bed and gets himself standing up and gives himself a second, sort of looks around and, walks over to where his pile of clothes are. And I'm assuming he's probably got a couple of business cards in his wallet.
For sure. Yeah. So he takes the business card and he says, I know that this is not protocol, but if for some reason she ends up pulling out of this, I will reach out to you if that's okay with you.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. I'd like to be there when she gets up, but, her mom's in a bad way too, seeing her daughter like that. So I don't want to be in the way.
Mm. He says, yes, trauma like this, it either pushes people two ways, either depression or anger. And it looks like you've got the latter.
Yeah, well, I'm just worried.
He says, just keep in good faith. That's the best thing you can do for yourself and for her.
He just nods. That's something he has a lot of.
yeah, for sure.
In the way that he probably means it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so you're released from the hospital. So I'm going to ask some questions now. So I don't know if I want to ask about the... Okay. So when you're immediately released, what do you decide to do?
So I feel like they give them all the paperwork and they probably wheel him out, I would think.
Yeah, for sure.
So they wheel me down to the front, and I feel like the first thing he does is light up a cigarette, and just starts to walk. I think sort of absently, I don't know where he would know, I guess, kind mm-hmm. of where the hospital is in relation to where all of his things are.
Yeah.
But I think he just kind of walks because he's been cooped up. He's been locked up and is just kind of taking in the day.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like he might look like if there's a diner close by, he might go grab something to eat. He's got a lot of things that he's stewing on. Jane, the relationship, whether or not she's going to be okay, work. Like he doesn't necessarily work hard every day, right? Because it's depends on whether or not people come in, but like, fuck, I can't really like take a month off if somebody comes in. Like, I'm gonna have to like take jobs because this is how I pay my bills. Yes. So he's just sort of absolutely wandering, I think, wandering and pondering.
Okay. I'm gonna say, because like, you just before you get out of the hospital, they give you a little bit, they give you the pain medication, and you haven't taken it yet. So as you're kind of walking and pondering, the pain is really bad.
Mm.
So like, you're thinking you're going to go for this long walk and you're going to ponder things, but like, you start to like, the more you walk, the more you start to kind of limp and you kind of right. clutch yourself and you're like, oh, I really should get somewhere and like get a coffee and take this medication before it really starts to bother you.
Yeah. Is there a place nearby in the space that I've walked?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm letting the dice decide if I'm going to be nice or mean. So it looks like, yes, there is.
So he, you know, he just pushes into the diner, you know, winces because it was his right side and he's right handed. So he goes to push the door open. It's like, ah, fuck. And, you know, goes and, you know, sits probably in a booth. Right. Cause like, a stool is going to be more like of a posture thing, which is going to bother him more. So slides into an empty booth and, you know, just waits for the waitress to come over while he's waiting. He takes the pain pills out and like, just puts them on the table. He may flip it over and either just kind of read what the directions are or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a waitress comes over and she's like, what can I do for you, honey?
Can I get a cup of coffee black and a menu?
Yeah, of course. And she reaches under the thing. She hands you the menu. She's like, how do you take a coffee?
Black. Thanks.
Oh, the best kind. All right. I'll be right back, honey.
So if it's in the morning, you know, he'll just order like the typical breakfast, eggs, toast, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, for sure.
He probably hasn't gotten anything as good as that in the hospital.
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hospitals these days are great. Hospitals back then, probably not so much. So like, you know, she gives her your coffee or whatever and brings you your meal and stuff like that. And it's just delicious. It's like, you've mm-hmm. never had this, you haven't had this good of food in like forever. And you're just super stoked about it. Besides the pain that you're going to try to eat away with this prescription that you have.
After he's eaten, you know, like half of it, he'll, you know, uncork and take one of the pills or two of the pills, whatever the recommended dosage is or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Then I assume there's like a warning. It says like, don't take with alcohol.
Yeah. I'm sure back then nobody really listened to that whole thing, but.
I mean, they probably still don't, but
it's true.
A lot of very people. True. I don't, he would at least start by not doing it. And it's the middle of the morning. It's not a problem right now.
yeah, for sure. So you have a belly full of food. She brings you another cup of coffee. She's like, this one's on the house, hon.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that.
She kind of looks at you. She's like, looks like you've been through some things. She kind of like, just looking at your demeanor, she like can tell.
Suit's all rumpled. There's probably a big rip down the arm with blood stains and shit. Yeah. Where he got cut dragging her out of the car.
Yeah.
He's like, it's been a rough couple of days.
She kind of looks at you and she said, well, the weather's going to be nice at least. So maybe you can enjoy that, huh?
Yeah, I hope so. I get home and, you know, throw the windows, air the old place out, you know?
Yeah, it's a good day for that.
All right. Well, thank you. Hope you have a good one.
Oh, you as well. Hope things get better for you, hon.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, I think he probably sits for a little bit. Like, he'll nurse the second cup of coffee. And when he's done, you know, obviously leaves tip and goes outside and hails a cab. He's not going to try to, he's not going to try to walk anywhere else.
Nice. So, yeah, I'm trying to think if we do the fast forwarding thing, or if we just are, is there something in between that you want to do? God, because I don't want to tell you what I'm thinking about at the moment.
So if it's in the morning, would he go to the office? I feel like he would at least make an appearance at the office.
Okay.
Right. Because Janice should be at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she would be at least relatively concerned. You know, nobody's got cell phones or anything. So, yeah, he probably goes over to the office, see if there's any messages, you know, see if she needs anything, you know, let her know that, you know, he's been discharged. You know, Jane's looking better, like, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the thought process.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so, yeah, it's been a couple of days, mm-hmm. you know,
for sure. So you go back to the office. It's pretty hustle and bustle. There's, you know, a lot of cars parked on the street. There's a lot going on, that kind of thing. I'll let the dice decide. Nope, there's no elevator, so you're taking the stairs. So that's a little grueling. Some of the pain medications kind of starts to kick in, so it's not as bad. But you make your way up there, and you get to your office, and the door is shut. You open it up, and you see that the door to your office is shut, and you see Janice is sitting at her desk. And as you come in, she just kind of has a very distressed look on her face.
So if I clock that, like, as she looks up to see me, I think he just says, well, I thought you'd be happier to see me.
And she says, yeah, no, believe me, I'm super excited to see you. How are you?
Okay.
He's like, couldn't have changed your clothes before you came in. And she kind of, like, she tries to laugh, but it's like almost like a nervous laugh.
He looks over at the closed door. And then he looks, you know, like his eyes flick over and then back to her. He says, are you okay?
Roll a brains check.
Is this an insight check?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see what that is. Ooh, that's an 8, sir.
Nice.
6 plus 2.
Okay. So she's basically trying to warn you that somebody is in your office, or people are in your office.
I mean, he would have pitched his, like, when he came in, he was normal talking voice, but when, like, he flicks his eyes over and back, it's kind of a lower tone.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, then under his breath is kind of like, what's up?
She's like, she's trying to find a way to tell you without telling you, but she's like, you have some customers.
And, like, he just, like, you know, kind of cocks his head and looks at her. I want the end to be, I understand what she's saying.
Yeah. So she mouths to you, be careful.
He just sighs. And he says, if you need to, get out of here.
She stays right where she's at.
Okay. He kind of, like, you know, stretches his neck, not too far. like, all right, well, here we go. Think probably pours himself a cup of coffee. Just like playing it off, you know, just, I'm going to Columbo this whole thing. And, you know, nods to her and, you know, just blithely walks into the office.
All right. So you walk into your office, and on either side of you are big, goonish looking fellows. And in your seat is one Antonio De Luca.
Cool. So he knows people are in there. So, like, he opens up the door, like, he's holding the coffee in his right hand because that's the side that's messed up. And he opens up the door, kind of walks in head down, and, you know, looks up as he enters the room. And what does he say? I don't think he was expecting that. So I don't think he would have anything, like, too witty to say. I think he just says, oh, this is an unexpected surprise. To what do I owe the pleasure?
And De Luca says, Mr. Armstrong, I am procuring your services to find out who's killing my men.
Okay. Sure. I guess I don't really get a choice in the matter anyway.
You don't.
My standard rate is.
Do you say that really?
I don't know if he would or not. Yeah, you know what? I think he does.
Nice.
I think he does.
Yeah, he kind of holds out his hand and he says, don't worry, you'll be taken care of nicely.
That's what I worry about. What? Then he tries to laugh and then, like, grabs his rib.
He says,
yeah, none of them laugh at all.
Yeah.
Just like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. No. He says, I see that you've got yourself in a little predicament.
Yeah, you could say that.
And he stares at you and he says, I think our stars may have aligned.
Well, I didn't read my horoscope this morning, but if you say so, I guess I'll have to agree.
He says that this gentleman that's been hurting my business, I have a feeling that he is a gentleman that is kind of a chameleon.
I think he just puts the cards on the table, right? Like, it's a zero sum game. So he turns and he looks to the guy to the left. He goes, oh, excuse me. And, you know, closes the door. And, I think he like very slightly nods to her, like, this is probably fine. And, closes the door and, says, if you don't mind. And he sits in the client chair opposite to Luca and says, I had a run-in with the Mr. or Detective or Agent Ace Johnson. That's how this all came about. He was working for Frank Beatty. I don't know if that's who you're looking for. If he's the one that's been causing you trouble, he's been dealt with. Got two slugs in him.
And he says,
But he takes a sip of coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe I've said too much. Let me shut my mouth.
He says, I've heard about this Ace Johnson fellow. Kind of a small potatoes compared to this guy.
And my shoulders sag a little bit. Like, fuck.
He says, one of my associates goes by the name of Ronald Garber. Was kind of like one of my best guys. It's one of these guys that we needed a job done. He slips in and out. He gets things done. He's good at his job, right? Then every once in a while, I hear from some of my other guys that he's kind of snooping where his noses belong. At first, I kind of ignore it because he's one of the good guys. He's one of the guys that gets the job done. Some of these guys that I have, you know what? They do a decent job, but sometimes they're kind of fuck-ups, you know? But this guy, he always gets the job done. He slips in and out, gets things done, does his job, right? But then the math starts getting a little tricky because then he's in charge of certain things. Should be an easy in and out, but then some guys don't make it back, but he does. Not a scratch on him. Now, me, I'm a good businessman. But also, you know what? I'm a pretty good bullshit detector. So I have some of my guys keep an eye on him, that kind of thing. Those guys don't come back. So now I think I've got myself an inside problem.
I don't say anything. I just let him talk. He's just nodding and sipping coffee like, I don't want to know any of this.
And he says, one day I get my number two, my boy, John Costa on the case. God rest his soul. And finds out that this guy, he might have another job. He might be a guy that works for certain newspaper.
At that, he can't hold himself. He's like, a newspaper guy took out your guys? Like, that doesn't...
Like a guy that writes for the newspaper.
Yeah, and but they're guy... usually, bookish types.
You would think so. But if you think about it, guy that writes for the newspaper, get his way in and out of things. Say, hey, here's my pass. Need to see this crime scene. Hey, I got this pass. I need to ask you a few questions. Start putting two and two together. He's got the same length. He's got the same look. Similar to this guy, this writer called Paul Blanca. Don't know if it's anybody that you know, but I feel like these two feel like they match up.
I feel like I should have to make a roll. Like, I know who he's, like, the player knows who he's talking about. I don't know... I mean, when he says newspaper guy, like, I think he's like, okay, I see where this is going. And then he drops the name. So would it be I kind of feel like it's a roll on him to see, like, does he see like a change of expression in my face? Right. More so than So I guess it would be an opposed, it would be an opposed role, right? So like, I don't know what I would be rolling, right? Like, is it like a reverse, like for him, I feel like it would be insight, right? Like he would make an insight roll.
For you, it would be like a, what was I trying to think of?
See, I was going to say fast talk, but if I don't say anything, right? Like if it's just a look, does he, but like, I'm also trying not to be like, oh, shit, right? Like,
trying not to see that. What is that called in like fantasy role playing where it's like you're trying to hide something that is obvious? What, there's a term for it.
Deception?
Yeah, like deception. Yeah. So I wonder if that would be under.
I mean, I feel like it would either be brains or psyche. Like, I could see psyche because like he drops the name and am I able to like.
Keep it like, together.
Don't want to.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's just do that. Let's just do a roll, like a straight psyche roll, and then I will do an opposed brains roll on that.
Okay. Oh, that's not great.
Oh, yeah.
They got a 4.
Nice.
Because I don't think I have anything to add.
Yeah, he's got a 7, so he definitely see like
his eyebrow goes up, I don't pale, right? But like. It's obvious that I know the name, right? Like you just see it. And then I feel like his eyebrow just raises and he cocks his head, looks at me. and then I think I just say, I know that name. He wrote the piece about, JJ Abram and that, the fire. That was my last case. I wound up talking to him about the case. Seemed like a normal egghead.
And he just kind of like kind of feels his face a little bit, kind of strokes his chin or whatever, and he's like, boy, this is definitely, can always think of things and then they just fall away. this is definitely
fortuitous.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, I know what your direction you're
going it's in. It's kind of like that. And again, it's just a term that I'm trying to think in my head, so I'll just use that. It says it's probably this. This doesn't seem like it's a coincidence that these things are happening. You, even though you are not in my circles, we are still kind of in the same orbit here.
Yes. I try to stay out of everybody's way.
He says that I too will be an open book here. Some of my men that died during your case at Imperial, that wasn't us.
When he says your case at Imperial, like he like sits back in the chair a little bit, like I don't have anything to do with that shit. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't kill anybody. Again, I think you can kind of see it on his face.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's basically like he knows you worked the job there because that's how you first kind of met.
Yeah.
But he says, I feel like this would be a good case for you. I feel like you're the one that kind of helped bring this together.
Well, as you say, I guess we share a certain orbit, I suppose. What do you need me to do exactly? You want me to track him down?
Oh, of course. You track him down, you give us the location, and we'll take care of it.
He looks concerned because I know what that means.
and he sees that look or whatever. He says, it's okay. It won't come back to you.
I mean that is potentially a concern for sure. I just I'm sure that I've killed people in the war. I was, I was overseas, but this is not that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, it's not yours. You know, you just do a little hide and seek. You're just finding the guy and just letting us know where he's at. No, there's no harm in that.
I suppose from a certain perspective.
Well, then it's settled. And he slaps the table. He's like,
the cup jumps.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, get your affairs in order. I'll give you the day and you start tomorrow.
Sure thing, boss.
Music to my ears. Well, now, if you don't, if you don't mind, you'll have to excuse me. I have a business to attend to, boys. And he gets up from his chair. The guys escort him out. He doesn't even allow you to like say anything else or have any other conversation otherwise. And they walk out the door.
He waits until the outside door closes. And then he, you know, slowly gets out of the chair, grabs the coffee cup, kind of, you know, makes his way back out into the outer office and just kind of shakes his head. Because I'm sure she could hear it. I mean, it's not like we were talking quietly. Like, it's not a huge set of offices, right? And he says, that is not what I expected when I stopped into the office today. I guess I should have went home.
Janice kind of looks at you or whatever, and she's like, what are you going to do?
Oh, I don't know, kid. I know. Well, I don't know who Paul Blanker is, because apparently he's probably not even Paul Blanker. Shit, I don't know. Even if I could find him, if I turn him over, then I don't know if that doesn't make me much better than DeLuca and his goons.
She kind of looks at you and she says, but you can't turn down the mob. That's a death sentence.
Yeah, believe me, I know. Kind of between a rock and a hard place.
And she just kind of thinks a little bit, and she's just kind of like thinking to herself out loud, and she says, maybe we can think of something while you're on the case.
I hope we come up with something. I'm tempted to talk to Brian, but I don't want to put him in a bad spot. Bad enough for one of us to be in this position.
And she kind of shakes her head. She's just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if bringing in the cops would be such a good idea, because it could really be a bad situation for you.
I mean, it seems like he knows more about me than I know about him. So, I'm assuming he knows I've got some contacts. Not too much I could do about that.
Yeah, but what if he has contacts where you have contacts?
Well, I know he did for sure. They cleaned up the precincts. I don't know that they got everybody.
I think you're going to have to tread lightly, especially in your condition.
Yeah, I don't want to get into a fist fight with Paul Blanker or whatever his name is. That's not it's not going to turn out well for me. Yeah. Especially not if he whacked a couple of mob goons.
Yeah, exactly. You definitely are between a rock and a hard place.
He just kind of nods. Says, what does he say? He wouldn't tell her anything that would implicate her. So he wouldn't tell her. Yes, he wouldn't tell her about any of that. He says, well, it seems like that's going to be a tomorrow problem. Anything come in the couple days I was out?
She says, yes, here and there. I feel bad. I had to turn them away. I heard about your condition. You know, of course I saw you. I don't know. I couldn't put you in harm's way right now. So I couldn't do it.
He nods. He says, that's all right. That's a good call. Doctor told me I was supposed to take a month off. Hopefully this case doesn't get too physical, but I'm not going to hold my breath, you know?
And she kind of laughs. She's like, with that rib, I don't think you could. Or with those ribs, I don't think you could.
Yeah, me neither.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.
I think we need to do some thinking about some things, because now I'm like, boy, there's a lot of directions. Because I still have ideas, but I'm like, after what happened with this session, I'm like, I need to do some more writing and thinking.
I'll have to do some writing too, but that's going to be for this and not for that.
yeah, for sure.
I mean, in a real meta sense, I feel like, I mean, he probably does it to the best of his ability.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say no to the mob.
Yeah.
Brian's not going to take down the mob.
Mm-hmm.
Blanker did say he was going to reach out to me.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to look very hard.
Yeah. Yeah. If he reaches out to you, it might be a lot easier than you think.
So the question becomes, so I'm going to give you ideas like I give Jesse ideas. If he reaches out, and I'm assuming he will, right? That was sort of our last conversation, whether there's a note at my place when I go back, say, hey, glad you're out of the hospital, whatever, right? If it's a let's meet here, then I, like, God, I don't want to even tell you.
I love it how you're usually pretty just nonchalant about saying, and now you're like, ah, I don't want to give you ideas.
It's two things, right? Like, he wouldn't necessarily know. Right. Like no one has full knowledge of anything. Right. And if they suspect him at this point, he's probably not still with the gang because he would be dead already. So he's left. So he probably wouldn't know unless he's watching my building like 24/7 because nobody's getting out of the hospital that I spoke to him. So if he has suggested a meeting, it's either a setup to see whether or not I bring somebody. But that seems unlikely because there wouldn't be any expectation on George's part that he knows that I talked to DeLuca, or DeLuca talked to me more specifically. So if it's a test and DeLuca's goons show up, then it's harder to find him. But if it's not, and I feel like the expectation would be that it's not, right? Then he just calls them and they show up and then they get him. Right? Like, and we're done in the next session. Or he gets away, right? Like it wouldn't have to necessarily end next session. Like they show up and like he makes them and boss, you know, fucking takes off or whatever, you know. Which then is super bad for me because like he's already broken into my place like 40 fucking times or whatever. Like that's not great because I have to sleep at some point. But if he doesn't, right, like then it's an investigation. Like now I have to research who Paul Blanker is, who Ronald Garber is. You know, see if I can suss out, you know, what the fuck's happening. Because he's already told me, like, I'm a fucking criminal and I've done bad things, right? So, like, I have a place to start from.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even to the point, I mean, he could ask Brian to run those names. Like, I don't think there's a CODIS system in 1947. I guess we could Google that. But because they must have some sort of database.
Yeah, it's probably just files.
It could just be that
and stuff. Yeah.
Push comes to shove. I guess he could go to the FBI, right? Because they would probably have more access.
Yeah.
Especially if this guy has already been doing things, right? That might be clocked by somebody somewhere. So there's different potentialities.
Yeah, for sure.
That could shake out.
Yeah. I already had a lot of like what, you know, what we could do and that kind of thing. And I think I've talked about this before, but this is probably this season is more improv for me because I'm like, I don't want a lot of eventuality, like, or like actual like stuff that I've written out that is like
set in stone
because I am basically reacting off of your reactions because this is more of a personal season for George.
Yeah,
so I'm like, I don't want to write something set in stone because I feel like I have to figure out how you're going to react to everything and then I'll react to that.
Right.
Because otherwise it feels like I would just be kind of pushing you in a certain direction. I don't want to do that.
Right. Right. You're embracing the full core GM-ness.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes I used to do that, like at the beginning of some of these things that I'm GMing, I used to just be like all improv because I'm better at it than some other people are. And I like doing it because sometimes it's fun to just do things off the top of the boat, top of the dome, instead of having stuff pre-written. But then I got in this big thing where I was like, I need some stuff written because I want it to be more of like a, especially like when you're writing George's notes, it's like, okay, I have some certain people's personalities and I have certain dates and I have certain places. And I'm like, I want those to be set in stone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and now I've kind of gotten away with that with this season, but next season will probably be back to like now we're going to have stuff set in stone, and you're going to be, because again, it's not going to be as personal as this season's going to be. So,
right. Be more case based than.
Yeah, like, exactly. You, because a lot of what you investigate, you don't have any personal, you don't have any personal
ties to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And going way back, because I just wanted to reference it, when I had it in my head that DeLuca was going to be waiting for you regardless of when you were there or whatever, that kind of thing. And I don't know if you noticed it when I was talking as him, but I was basically saying, you are working for me now. I didn't do the thing where I was like, I would like to see if you'd like to work for me. I was basically you're working for me. This is happening. Here we go. You know, that kind of
thing. Yeah, well, that's what he said. I guess I don't get a choice.
Exactly. You know, there might be some people, even people that are mobsters, that be like, oh, you know, if you'd like to help, that'd be great. If you don't, then I'm going to kill you. You know, like it would be, it's not like you're going to help me. It's like, oh, I'll give you a choice, even though you don't really have a choice.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to hire you for a case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I guess I do that then.
It's ridiculous.